All right, so today we're diving into motivation.
Ooh, yeah, one of my favorite
Something
topics.
we all deal with every single day, right? Like what keeps us going?
Yeah, absolutely. And for this deep dive, we've got some really interesting sources. We're going to be looking at Jack Neal.
Oh, yeah.
He's a motivational speaker,
Big on discipline.
huge on discipline. And then we're also going to be looking at Andrew Tate,
Very different perspectives.
former kickboxer,
Entrepreneur.
entrepreneur. Yeah, totally different worlds. But their ideas actually like connect in some really surprising ways.
Yeah, and that's what I think is going to be interesting to unpack here.
Yeah,
Because
interesting.
for anyone listening, think about how much control do you really have over your own motivation?
Right.
And then how can you actually harness that? I mean, we've all had those moments where you're super amped about something and then it just fizzles out.
Totally. And I think one of the reasons why that happens is that we misunderstand what motivation is a lot of times.
Oh,
We think
yeah.
it's just about like, feeling inspired, like, oh, I'm so motivated. But it's more than that. It's more nuanced.
It's way more nuanced. There's all these different types of motivation, and we have to understand how they work together.
Okay, so break that down for me a little bit.
Yeah, so you've probably heard of intrinsic versus extrinsic motivation,
Yeah,
right?
for sure.
So, like, intrinsic motivation is doing things just because they're fun
Yes, love that.
or they make you feel good.
Totally.
That's like the ideal, right?
Yeah, I'm all about that.
But then extrinsic motivation is driven by external rewards or pressures.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense because the real world kind of throws in those external motivators, whether we like it or not.
All the time. Yeah, exactly. And I think the key is to understand how these two can actually complement each other.
Okay.
So there's this thing called self-determination theory, and it basically suggests that for long-term success, you need a balance of both.
Okay.
You don't have to just choose between passion or structure. You need both.
I love that because I've definitely struggled with projects in the past where it was all passion and no plan, and it just.
It just went nowhere. It's like having a powerful engine, but no steering wheel.
That's a great analogy. Yeah.
So then where does discipline fit into all of this?
Ooh.
Because Jack Neal, he really hammers home the importance of discipline,
Absolutely.
especially when that initial excitement kind of fades away.
Yeah, discipline is the bridge between setting a goal and actually achieving it.
Okay.
It's what helps you stick to those long-term goals, even when, the instant gratification is not there.
Right. You're not seeing those results immediately.
Exactly. Like, think about training for a marathon. You might start out all excited.
So excited.
Yeah.
New shoes, new outfit.
Exactly. But then, a couple weeks in, it's like,
Yeah, it's cold. It's early.
it's raining, you're tired.
I don't want to do this.
But discipline is what gets you out of bed and keeps you going.
Yeah. It's like having that inner voice saying, like, get up. You got to do the work.
Totally.
But let's be honest, cultivating that kind of discipline can be really tough.
It can be really tough.
Yeah. It's not like we're all born with this endless supply of willpower.
Definitely not. No. And this is where things get really interesting because Andrew Tate,
Okay, here we go.
he's got a very provocative take on this whole thing.
I'm intrigued.
He argues that there are all these like unseen forces, these power structures that can subtly influence our choices and our motivations.
Wait, hold on. You're telling me it's not all about individual willpower, that there are these like shadowy figures controlling everything behind the scenes.
Well, it's not quite that dramatic, but his point is that these structures, from governments to corporations, they can influence us in ways that we don't even realize.
Okay.
So think about the media that we consume, the education that we receive, even like the cultural norms that we accept.
Okay.
All of these things can subtly shape our ambitions and what we believe is possible.
I'm starting to see where he's coming from,
Yeah.
but how does this actually like play out in our everyday lives? Like, what's a concrete example of this?
So think about censorship, for example. When certain viewpoints or information are deliberately suppressed,
Right.
it limits our exposure to different perspectives.
So it's not just about like restricting what we say, it's about controlling what we're even allowed to hear.
Exactly. And this can stifle individual thought and even innovation.
Whoa. Okay. That's kind of scary.
It is a little bit, yeah.
You're saying that even in democratic societies, there can be these subtle forms of censorship happening all around us.
Exactly. And it
Yeah.
can be as subtle as, media outlets choosing to ignore certain stories
Right.
or social media algorithms filtering what we see in our news feeds.
Like we're all living in these personalized bubbles curated just for us.
Yeah.
Makes you wonder how much free will we actually have if our information is being controlled like that.
That's a big question, and it leads us to the concept of self-censorship.
Self-censorship, so I'm censoring myself.
Well, think about it. Have you ever held back from expressing an opinion because you were afraid of backlash?
You know what? I actually have, especially online. Sometimes I worry about being judged or like canceled. You know, it's like there's this pressure to conform to what's considered acceptable.
Exactly. And this ties into the whole debate about free speech. So free speech is crucial for a healthy society, right? It allows for open
A
dialogue.
critical debate.
Exactly. But it can also be used to spread misinformation and hate.
It's a double-edged sword.
It is. So the question becomes, how do we balance those competing interests?
Yeah, that's a tough one.
It is tough.
And I don't think there's an easy answer, but I am starting to see how all of this connects back to our original question about motivation. Like, if we're not even aware of these subtle influences that are shaping our thoughts and our choices, how can we truly be in control of our own lives and, you know, pursue goals that are authentically ours?
That's the million-dollar question.
And that's what we're going to explore as we go deeper into this.
Let's do it.
So we've been talking about all these external factors and the media we consume and stuff like that can influence our motivation. But what about when we're just feeling stuck? Like no amount of awareness is enough to kickstart the motivation. What do we do then?
Well, I think one thing that's really important to remember is that motivation is not this like constant thing. It ebbs and flows. Some days you're going to feel super motivated and like you can conquer the world, and other days just getting out of bed is like a huge effort.
Huge accomplishment. And
Totally.
that's normal.
It's totally normal. If we're expecting to just be motivated all the time, we're setting ourselves up for failure.
I feel like I've definitely beat myself up in the past for not always feeling, you know, super driven. Like I should just be able to do this.
It's not realistic.
Okay, so if motivation isn't always there, how do we actually get things done?
Well, that's where discipline comes in. You know, Jack Neil, he talks about discipline as the foundation of achievement.
Yeah, he's big on that.
Huge on that, and he's absolutely right. You know, discipline is about showing up and doing the work,
Even when you don't feel like it.
especially when you don't feel like it. Yeah, it's that commitment to consistency.
Okay.
When the task is boring or difficult, or you'd rather just be doing something else.
I like that. So it's like discipline is the backup generator when the main power source of motivation goes out.
Love that analogy.
Okay. But how do we actually like build that discipline muscle? It's not something you can just like flip a switch and suddenly become super disciplined.
No, it takes practice and intention.
Okay, so give me some tips.
All right, so one really effective strategy is something called habit stacking.
I've heard of that.
Have you heard of that? Okay, so basically the idea is you link a new habit that you want to form with an existing habit. So like, let's say you want to start journaling every morning. You could do it right after you make your coffee.
Yeah, make it part of the routine.
Exactly. So you're attaching it to something you already do consistently, and that just increases the chances that you'll actually stick with it.
Makes sense, and it takes some of the pressure off of relying solely on willpower.
Totally, because willpower is
It's not reliable.
not very reliable.
So what are some other techniques for boosting discipline?
Another really helpful one is breaking down large goals into smaller, more manageable chunks. So instead of feeling overwhelmed by this huge task,
Just chunk it down.
you're creating these mini milestones that feel much more achievable.
Yeah, bite-sized pieces.
Exactly. And that sense of progress can actually fuel your motivation.
I can definitely see how that would help. It's like that satisfaction you get from checking things off your to-do list.
Totally. You know, those small wins, they really add up over time.
They do.
And then another crucial aspect is managing distractions.
Oh my God.
In
You
our
know,
world right now, it's so easy
the distractions are endless.
to get sidetracked by notifications.
Email, social media, it never ends.
So learning to minimize those distractions is essential.
Any tips for that?
Well, I mean, it might sound simple, but just turning off notifications can make a huge difference.
Sometimes I just have to put my phone in another room.
Or like set specific times for checking emails or social media so you're not constantly interrupted.
I like that.
And there's even apps out there that can block distracting websites during certain times.
Interesting. So it's about taking control of our technology instead of letting it control us. But sometimes it feels like the distractions aren't just external. Sometimes it's my own thoughts, the feelings that get in the way.
That's where mindfulness comes in.
Okay, how so?
So mindfulness is about paying attention to the present moment without judgment. And when we apply that to our goals, you know, we become
Right.
more aware of the thoughts and feelings that might be sabotaging our efforts.
Okay, give me an example of that.
So let's say you're procrastinating on a project.
Yeah, clap.
Instead of beating yourself up about it, take a moment to actually observe those feelings of resistance
Okay.
without judging yourself.
Interesting. So you're saying that by acknowledging those feelings, we can actually start to overcome them.
Yeah, a lot of times just naming those feelings, like I'm feeling overwhelmed or I'm feeling uninspired,
Oh, wait.
can actually take away their power.
It's like shining a light on those shadows.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay, so we've talked about like techniques for building discipline.
Right.
But what about when we're faced with like those bigger societal pressures and expectations that we talked about earlier?
Right. Well, it all starts with awareness.
Okay.
You know, be mindful of the messages that you're receiving from the environment.
Okay.
Ask yourself, what values are being promoted? What expectations are being placed upon me?
Yeah.
And once you're aware of these influences, you can choose which ones to embrace and which ones to reject.
I like that.
Yeah.
It's about being more conscious
Totally.
and selective about
Shh.
what we allow into our lives.
Yeah.
Exactly. And, you know, this might sound cliche, but surrounding yourself with the right people can make a world of difference.
Oh, for sure.
You know, seek out people who support your goals and challenge you to grow.
I love that.
Yeah, they can be like your cheerleaders, your accountability
The
partners.
power of community.
Totally.
Yeah, so we've covered a lot of ground on discipline.
Yeah.
But what about reigniting motivation when it feels like it's just gone out completely?
Yeah.
Like it's just not there.
Sometimes you just need to reconnect with your why.
Okay.
Ask yourself, why is this goal important to me?
Yeah.
What are the deeper values or aspirations driving me?
Okay.
And when you tap into that sense of purpose, it can be incredibly motivating.
Yeah, it's like remembering the bigger picture
Totally.
and why you started on this journey in the first place.
Exactly. And sometimes just shifting your perspective can help too.
Okay.
You know, instead of dwelling on what you have to do, try focusing on what you get to do. What are the opportunities this goal opens up? What are the positive experiences you might have along the way?
So it's about reframing it as a privilege or an adventure
Exactly. Yeah.
rather than a chore.
Yeah.
And what about like celebrating those small
Oh,
victories?
that's huge.
Yeah.
Yeah. Celebrating your successes, no matter how small,
Okay.
it reinforces positive behavior and it keeps you motivated.
I like that.
It's like giving yourself a pat on the back for all that hard work.
It's a good feeling.
It is. Yeah.
This has been incredibly insightful.
Oh, good.
I'm already starting to feel more empowered to take control of my motivation and my discipline.
Awesome.
But before we move on, I do have one more question.
Yeah, what's that?
So we've talked a lot about how societal influences can shape our motivation.
Right.
But what about the flip side?
Okay.
Can our individual choices and actions actually influence society?
Ooh.
Like, can we be the change we want to see in the world?
That's a fantastic question,
Yeah.
and one that we'll explore in the final part of our deep dive.
Okay, so we've been spending a lot of time talking about how, you know, society shapes our motivation.
Yeah.
But can we flip the script a little bit?
Okay.
Can we as individuals actually make a difference, like influence society itself?
That's a question that's fascinated thinkers and philosophers and, you know, everybody for centuries.
Right.
And the answer is yes.
Okay, good. That's
Absolutely.
what I wanted to hear.
You have the power to influence the world around you.
I love that.
Yeah.
But it's easy to feel like, one person's actions are kind of insignificant,
Right.
especially when we're talking about these huge
Doing
systems.
massive structures, yeah.
Yeah. So where do we even begin to make a difference?
Well, I think the first thing to understand is that societal change, it rarely happens overnight.
Okay.
It's not about like one grand gesture. It's the cumulative effect of, you know, countless individuals each making their own unique contributions.
I like that.
Yeah, think of it like a ripple effect.
Okay.
You know, your actions inspire others, and their actions inspire even more people.
So it
Life
builds.
just kind of keeps going.
Okay, so let's get practical.
Okay.
What are some ways that we can actually make a difference?
So our consumer choices are actually a really powerful starting point.
Okay. Oh,
Every
yeah.
time we buy something, we're essentially casting a vote for the kind of world that we want to support.
Interesting.
So by choosing to support, you know, ethical and sustainable companies,
Right.
we're sending a message about our values.
So it's about being conscious consumers and using our purchasing power to align with our beliefs.
Exactly.
What about social media? We
Ooh,
talked about the downsides.
right, the potential downsides.
Can we use it for good?
Absolutely.
Okay.
While it can sometimes feel like an echo chamber,
Yeah.
it can also be an incredibly powerful tool for amplifying voices, you know, raising awareness about important issues and connecting with like-minded people.
So it's like using those same algorithms that can trap us in these filter bubbles to break out of them and actually build movements for positive change.
Exactly. Yeah.
And then, of course, there's always voting.
Yeah.
Engaging in the political process.
Huge. Participating in elections is so important for shaping, you know, policies that impact our lives.
It's like our civic duty.
Exactly. But I think influence goes beyond just the ballot box.
Okay.
What about those of us who might not feel comfortable like being in the spotlight?
Right.
Or leading a protest?
Not everyone's cut out for that.
Exactly. Are there less visible ways to contribute?
Yeah, that's a great point, because not everyone wants to be like a public activist or something.
Right.
So what would you suggest for those people?
I think it can be as simple as like living your values authentically in your everyday life.
Okay.
You know, treat people with kindness and respect.
Yeah.
Even those who hold different views.
That can be tough.
It can be tough, but it's important.
Yeah.
Speak up against injustice when you see it, even when it feels uncomfortable.
It's about having courage.
It is. You know, be a role model for the kind of world that you want to create.
I like that.
Yeah.
Starting with your own actions.
Exactly. And honestly, one of the most powerful things you can do is engage in thoughtful conversations with people who hold different viewpoints.
That's so important.
It's easy to just stay in our own little echo chambers.
Yeah, for sure.
But real change happens through dialogue and active listening and a willingness to find common ground.
This is all coming together beautifully. It's our individual motivations, our commitment to discipline, and our understanding of how society works.
It's all connected.
Yeah, it all comes together to shape not just our own lives, but the world around us.
You got it. You're not just a passive bystander. You have the power to shape the world you live in.
This has been an incredible journey.
It has.
As we wrap up this deep dive, what's the key message you want listeners to take away?
If motivation is influenced by the information we consume and the people we surround ourselves with,
you have the power to curate those influences.
Okay.
And shape your own destiny.
I love that.
You know, whether it's through your consumer choices, your social media engagement, your political activism, or simply the way you live your life every single day, you can make a positive impact.
That's an inspiring note to end on.
Good.
I hope everyone listening feels empowered to take action.
Me too.
Make a difference in their own unique way.
Absolutely.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into motivation, discipline, and societal change.
Thanks for having me.
We'll see you next time.